It's not too late for you to say sorry.
Oh.
For all his takes, for the Bryce Huff take.
You know I apologize for my takes. Mm. I do apologize for fat shaming, though, because that's not cool.
You apologized pretty quickly for that.
Yeah, I don't fat shame.
Well, you did, but then you stopped it.
Yeah, because I realized I was fat shaming.
You know what you did? You did the old school, let me walk that back.
Yeah.
You haven't done that in a while, where you start a take, and then you're like, hey, you know what? Let me walk that way.
Yeah, because usually I stand on business. But you know, sometimes, you know, you just got to, you know, do the right thing.
And you got to be grown up?
Yeah, sometimes it's hard, though.
I know, but you, I feel, have you, do you feel you've gotten better at being grown up or worse?
That's a good question.
The fact that there's not an easy answer there.
No, you know what's funny? I feel.
Wow, this should have been a hard question.
Well, it is because, like, I know, put it like this. I know my teammates, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of my teammates have done a tremendous job taking the high road on certain situations, right? And I don't like that for y'all. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like sometimes, and this is just an analogy. This is not for real.
Total analogy.
Sometimes people need to be punched in the face to let them realize that, you know, sometimes it's, you know, you can't just be saying stuff that, you know, you can't be just throwing rocks and hiding hands.
Talking crazy?
Yeah. Sometimes you need to be confronted about certain things because you need to know that you ain't that cat that you think you are sometimes.
Okay.
You know what
well,
I mean? Sometimes.
Speaking of talking crazy here, this might sound crazy. I believe this Phillies team is different, man. They feel different to me.
That's why they put it together. That's a perfect segue.
They feel different, crazy or not. Talking crazy or not, I feel this Phillies team is different. 215-592-9494. All right, so we are live today, Team 62, the Beer Bowl for the Eagles Autism Foundation. I believe like 100 or 200 feet to our right, they're in the
cheese ball
they're
pit.
In the cheese ball pit.
It's a lot of cheese balls over there.
It's a bit greasy.
It sounds sticky.
Yeah, like kinda, gross.
Yeah, yeah, gross.
You're going to have to jump in the bay after that, I think.
I don't know, but yeah, I guess that'll help a little bit. Yeah.
And it's a little warm out here, too. And so you know what happens when you get in a vat of cheese balls and you're sticky.
Yeah. Do you have experience?
No, but I can. Like I've eaten cheese balls, and like when you eat the cheese balls, they get cheese all on your hands. So I'm pretty sure if you get your sticky self in the cheese ball vat.
Yep.
You're going to have cheese balls in places that you ain't really normally used to have.
Surrounded by balls.
Yes.
If you had to choose.
Nope.
Had to.
Water.
The water over the cheese balls?
I'm not getting no cheese balls. I'm not getting the cheese balls. I jump in the lake and jump right back out before I jump in the cheese balls.
Now, if they were Cheetos, would you feel different?
Nope.
Okay. I just want checking on something. There.
No, I'm not jumping in the cheese balls.
It's the cheese.
That's nasty.
It's just
because it's hot, Joe.
Yep.
It's hot. And they're sticky.
But it goes for a great cause.
Oh, no, it is for a great cause.
This is all about.
And that's why if I had to choose for a great cause, between the two.
Go in the water with the sharks.
I'm going in the water with
the sand sharks.
The sand sharks. Okay. And I'm a Herbie with some aqua shoes on.
Okay.
Like the kids.
Yes. 215-592-9494. All right. Now that we have kind of come full circle here with our show, and we've had a lot of – we appreciate the guests we've had today, Bo Allen, Kylie Kelce, and, of course, Dan Orlovsky. Go back in the Odyssey app later and listen to any of those. Hugh, now that you've had more time to let it marinate, are you starting to feel this Phillies team is different?
I mean, no.
Okay, thank you.
I like this Phillies team, though.
No, it doesn't sound like
it. I like the win that they had last night against Love Lady.
Richard
Love Lady.
Dick Love Lady.
Yeah, I like the fact that they had that win. And your boy Biederman.
No, it was Richard Love Lady last night. I like that one. Beetlejuice from the Nationals.
Love Lady. I like the fact that they showed a lot of grit last night, a lot of moxie. But as far as, like, changing the way I feel – we've been down this road before.
Well, let me ask you guys this question. Is there anything the Phillies can do in the regular season to make you feel it's different? I mean, so let's just break down what they've done. Since Mattingly took over, best record in baseball. Mm-hmm. Not a short sample anymore, right? We're talking about basically 2 months. They've been the best team in baseball. They have their top three pitchers healthy and pitching well. Their top two, especially pitching at a super level. They have a great closer. They have three all-star caliber everyday players, right?
Yes.
We'll see if they all make it. But they're all all-star caliber this season.
Yes.
They've got the other guys in the lineup at least showing a pulse the last 4 to 5 weeks. What more do you need?
You know, you asked the question, like, what have they done to make me feel different?
Yeah, or what do they need to do to
well,
make you feel different?
I will say
if
this.
If they haven't already.
I will say this one. I'll concede this one point to you. They do feel different. You know what? Why they feel different now? Because I thought about this. Because I feel like Don Mattingly, whatever happens in the postseason, I feel like we as fans won't have a problem with the moves that he's made because it feels like he's going to do whatever it takes to win the game. Is that that I'll give you
so
that.
So the Mattingly angle is like that might make you feel different.
Yeah, it might make me feel different because it feels like, you know, the fact that, you know, Kyle was a healthy he was a scratch last night because of the back, and you went to Kyle and said, "Hey man, give me something." And he did. He gave you something.
So gut feeling. We don't know the answer. We'll never know the answer. And every situation is its own thing. Gut feeling. Do you think if Topper's the manager, he uses Schwarber last night? I don't think
Joe,
he does.
Joe, you know what's funny? I thought about that today. And I would say, given the fact that Topper's kind of like, I feel like Topper would have gave the night off. And wouldn't have used
it. So do you remember, I'm trying to remember if it was last summer or the summer before, Hugh, there was a game, I think it was against the Nationals. It was in August here. It was in Philadelphia. Kyle, you might remember the game. In August, Philadelphia, your last summer, the year before, where I think it was Bryce had the day off. Like, he just, you know, it was a day off for Bryce. Maybe JT. And it was a close game late, and he didn't use him.
Yeah.
Like, remember, and then afterwards he said, I wanted to give him the full day. Like, last night was the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Like, there was a reason Schwarber sat, right? He had it tight back. And he still
said,
used him.
Yeah.
He put his arms on his shoulder and said, hey, Kyle, I need you. And Kyle said, yeah.
My gut feeling is if that game happened a year ago or just 2 months ago, Schwarber doesn't pinch hit. They lose the game. And he's asked afterwards, and Topper says, I could have used him, but I'm thinking big picture on this.
But I will say this to that, and I might be wrong, but I think it needs to be said. I feel like given what Bryce has done or hasn't done over the last couple of weeks, I don't think he would have did it because you gave him the night off. I think Schwarber's built different. I think Schwarber probably had the night off until Dom went to him and said, hey, I need you, and he said, okay.
Or he asked him, can you go? And
dude,
he said, yeah.
He was wincing. You could tell his back was tight. You could tell that. And you could tell when he was walking to first base that his back was tight.
Yeah, I mean, he was up there to either pop a home run
that
or
was it.
Walk.
It was one or the other. It was one or the other. So I'm going to say Topper doesn't even ask Bryce because he already knows the answer. You know what I'm saying? I think with Don and the two individuals in this story, that's why it was different.
Because I just think Schwarber
carried the stick.
Yeah.
Well, that
matters.
But
to them apparently.
But the fact that it's Kyle Schwarber, because Kyle feels to me like if you ask him in a situation like that in a pinch, he's going to do it.
Well, and also like if Mattingly, he's coming from a place of if he asked the player to do that.
Yeah.
Like Mattingly himself has probably been in a similar situation as a player.
Of course, it's a different scenario. Right. I don't even think he asked Bryce because he already knows the answer.
Well, that is the one thing that I do think it feels different because it is different. Is Mattingly, and I think he manages with more urgency.
Well,
like the games matter to him, and that could bear out in the playoffs.
He's an interim manager. He has managed the Phillies like an interim manager. You know, Hugh, when you're renting somewhere versus you own it, or you're just. You know, you're having a good time versus you're committed to something. It changes the way you go about it.
You're not worried about getting the security deposit back.
Right, exactly.
That's a good way of putting it. I ain't worried about the security.
If Don tries things or pushes the envelope, and let's just say, because he's been very aggressive with Duran, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the season, Duran runs out of gas. I mean, not that Don Mattingly wants that, but what does he have to lose, right? Right now, he's guaranteed nothing beyond this year. Topper managed this team differently because – He didn't feel that way. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. A lot to talk about with the Phillies and the Maxey thing. I if I'm the Sixers and I see that trade this morning that the Hornets made, LaMelo Ball for all those picks and a good player and Naz Reid, I'm like, wait a second. Here's what I would do if I was Mike Anzi. I would and Bob Myers. I would just put the signal out to the league. Like, hey, we're not looking to trade Tyrese Maxey. But if you want to call and just tell us what you would offer, yeah, we'll listen. If you can get 5 or 6 number one picks for Tyrese Maxey or 3 real unprotected picks, 3 pick swaps, whatever, I think you owe it to yourself to think about it because this team, the way I view it, is years away from winning. The kid they just drafted might be a legitimate starting point guard in the NBA within a couple years, and you could create a timeline that makes more sense to me. Chris in Overbrook is up on WIP. Chris, good afternoon.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Chris, what's up?
Man?
Everything goes. You wanted to clear a couple of things up from yesterday, bro. I know you had some questions about ethnicity and everything. I just want to tell you that my dad is black. He's a legend from West Philly. My mom is white. She's a legend in her own right from East Falls. And then you got Chris from Overbrook, another legend. Just wanted to clear that up real quick.
That's fine. Now, I was just, that's cool.
That sounds great.
We all inclusive over here. We're all inclusive.
Listen. All good. Listen.
Yep.
So.
Yes.
You realize in 5 years, time, not even, you're going to have to switch up. You're going to have to retort everything that you're saying about Jalen Hurts. You're just going to have to all your words, bro.
So in five years, I'm going to have to change all my. But why? Like, what does that mean? Why?
Because he's not going to be here.
He's too much of a winner. He's not going to be here. Like I told you guys yesterday, we haven't even seen the best football out of Jalen Hurts.
I doubt that.
To another couple of Super Bowls. He's going to take us back to another couple of Super Bowls at least, and he wins too many games.
Oh man!
And you can put a thousand, machine guns in Jalen Hurts' face, and he's not even going to bat an eye. Hmm. He's the GOAT.
He's the GOat of what?
Talk to him, Chris.
The greatest player to ever put the pads on. Yep,
you can put Jalen Hurts on those Tom Brady teams, and he's going to take them to more Super Bowls. Put Jalen Hurts on those San Francisco teams, he's going to take those guys to Super Bowl too.
The GOAT of pro football or a different sport? Because it can't be the sport we're watching every Sunday, right?
Yeah, well, you heard him. Mm-hmm. Talk to him, Chris.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Hold on. Name me another quarterback who took Alabama, okay? Mm-hmm. To a championship. He took Oklahoma to a championship, then came in the NFL and took an NFL team to two Super Bowls.
Joe Namath.
Also,
Joe Namath, another legend.
Another GOAT,
But he didn't. He wasn't the starting quarterback when Alabama won to a Tagovailoa.
That's the only retort, but it's not
a retort. It's just a reality. The quarterback on they had a bench Jalen to win the game.
Talk to him, Chris. Talk
you
to
know,
Vinny
Conway. Do you understand why they did that?
It's a bet.
I remember watching the game because they couldn't throw the ball.
Talk to him, Chris.
They couldn't throw the ball. Remember when Tua hit Devontae in the end zone?
Tua to Devontae. Tua connected to Devontae.
Don't let Joe bully you, Chris.
No way. Tua had connection with the higher forces of Alabama. That's why they put him in. And look at Tua now. He can't even get on the field.
Set him straight.
He can't even get on the field.
But Tua won that game against Georgia.
Set him straight.
Tua won that game after Jalen Hurts laid the foundation for everything that he did. Then he went to Oklahoma.
Laid the foundation. How many points did they have at halftime?
No, Jalen was Alabama, Joe.
Hey, you know what, Joe? You ain't listening.
He was.
That's the problem. Jalen
was Alabama. He brought that program into relevance.
Yep. They weren't good before he got there.
Alabama. They were nothing.
I'm sorry.
Alabama was nothing.
You know what? Chris, I must watch a different sport than everybody else. So you think he's the greatest player of all time?
I think he's at least top three quarterback, and by the end of his career, he's going to be the best quarterback.
Top three quarterback of all time already?
You heard him.
So we put Brady there. So what, we got Brady. Who else?
Most dominant. Most dominant.
Like more dominant than
nobody can do.
Peyton Manning?
Most dominant. I'll give you Peyton Manning.
Because
I like Peyton Manning. But he's not anywhere as near as the dominant of a football player as Jalen Hurts. He can't do what he can do. Nobody can do what he can do.
Do you remember how many points Alabama had at halftime in a game that
goal line and do what he can do?
Chris, I'm just curious. Do you remember how many points Alabama had at halftime when they pulled
Hurts? First Paul Jarvis, not his.
Do you remember any points Alabama had at halftime when they pulled Hurts for Tua?
A million.
Zero.
Hurt.
It was not one, not two, not three. A goose egg, Chris.
That's on them. Look what Hurts did in that Chargers game. Look what Hurts did in that Chargers game. He threw four interceptions and still put the Eagles in a position to win that game.
I would argue he put them in a position.
He threw a perfect ball to A.J. Brown, and A.J. Brown dropped it in the end zone. Put the team in a position to win the game.
I actually think that was what other quarterback did that? To lose the game when you turn the ball over five times in a single game.
Come on, bro. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but we still
you heard
did
it.
We
yeah.
not have a, just, did we not have a chance right. to win that game after four interceptions? Did we not
think,
have a chance?
Do you
did
think that might be because the Eagles' defense sacked Herbert seven times?
What is this?
Do you think it might be because Herbert got sacked seven times by the Eagles' defense? All right. Last thing, I just want to workshop top five quarterbacks of all time.
What's his record against Jalen Hurts? Speaking of Matt Stafford, what's his record against Jalen Hurts?
Talk
speaking
to Manny Conway.
What's his record against Jalen Hurts? Speaking of Lamar Jackson, what's his record against Jalen Hurts?
Nope, not
speaking
good.
Speaking of Jaden Daniels, what's his record against Jalen Hurts?
Chris, what is Jalen Hurts' record? Chris,
you guys spew nonsense. You guys spew nonsense about Hurts.
All right, the game works both ways. What's Jalen Hurts' record against Zach Wilson?
Come on, bro. I'm just saying all these
come on.
That's the go-to football right there.
What are
put
we
that
doing?
In the dumpster, bro.
All right, so hold on.
Put that
Chris.
In the dumpster. Nobody
Top
cares about him.
Top five quarterbacks ever, right? So you put Jalen, right? You got Brady. Manning. Do you want to put Montana
Still
in
Montana.
Or no? Montana?
Yo,
what about Steve Young?
What's
Steve Young?
Of course you're putting him in.
Steve Young?
And then Steve Young or Hurts, what do you got?
Johnny Unitas? Where's Johnny Unitas?
Johnny Unitas.
Mm-hmm. But then we have
Johnny
too many. We're doing a top
Unitas
five.
Is above Peyton Manning.
See?
Yeah.
I love Steve.
Johnny Unitas is above Peyton Manning.
What do we do with Rodgers? Is Jalen above him too?
Yes.
Jalen is above Rodgers.
Oh. Jalen Hurts above Aaron Rodgers. He won four MVPs.
What about where's he ranked?
Jalen Hurts is above Aaron Rodgers, bro.
What about Tom Brady?
You got to be kidding me. If you put Jalen Hurts on those Patriots teams, they win four Super Bowls over those years. I can guarantee you that.
I can't. No, I can't guarantee
and
that.
Wait a minute.
Let's talk about Tom. Let's talk about Tom Astridge. I call him Tom Astridge.
Talk to him, Chris.
Unbelievable.
Schooling, Chris.
Tom Astridge. Brady, because everything that he did, all the records that he has as an asterisk next to him, because he's a cheater.
Right.
He can't win without cheating. Tom Brady had the refs on his side his whole career. Jalen Hurts has to fight against the refs. That's the difference.
Damn right.
Yeah. I mean, I can't argue. I mean, what am I supposed to do with that one?
You just cooked you.
Yeah. So seven Super Bowls. Does he get any of them, or are we taking them all away from Brady?
Go and look at that. Go and watch that Super Bowl with the Bucks and tell me that the refs were on his side. As a matter of fact, they wouldn't – listen, the Bucks wouldn't even have gotten to the Super Bowl if they would have called that penalty that put us back. We would have beat them if they didn't call that roughing the passer penalty in the first quarter against the Bucks.
You mean the game – hold on, the game we were down 31-0 in?
That's only because they called me. We had a running team.
Bro,
we had a running team that year. We did not have a lot of pieces that year. We had a running team.
Right.
If they put us behind that eight ball.
All right, Chris.
You couldn't take all
no,
that cooking.
No, I couldn't take it anymore.
He was cooking.
That was a tough one.
I just like the nonsense that comes afternoon.
It usually is afternoon.
Yeah, well, like
you know what? You know who's all business, not nonsense? Ross Tucker, who sits down with us right now.
Ross,
how are you?
I am fantastic. How are you guys
good.
Doing?
Good. Were you in the cheese ball?
The cheese ball pit? Yes.
Now, you don't look orange.
You don't look, yeah. So Connor Barwin, my teammate, found that they have hazmat suits outside of it.
Smart
so
man.
So we put the hazmat suits on, and it was clutch. I mean, really clutch, because everybody else is like orange, and I know this is a radio show, but you guys can at least see how Connor and I look.
Oh, that's awesome.
Before
that's
we went in.
That's the only way to do it.
I will say this about the hazmat suits. Very hot.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine.
So I felt like a wrestler. I felt like a wrestler trying to lose weight.
Yeah, you were cooking a stew.
At the end of it.
Yeah, that's.
So what did I stumble on here.
Well,
Jalen Hurts is he's in the top five greatest quarterbacks that ever played a game.
Well, yesterday he said he's the greatest player to ever put on
except
pads.
Jim Brown.
No, he said
besides
two.
Jim Brown.
Yeah.
And
he's number two.
Right.
You know what's so funny about that? Growing up, I would talk to like my grandpa or whatever, even like my father-in-law about the best football players ever, and they'd be like, you mean other than Jim Brown?
It wasn't even, to them,
to the older guys, like, you don't even debate anyone with Jim Brown.
Right.
It's like, you mean other than Jim Brown.
Yeah.
Think about that. That we don't really have that guy.
Jim Brown was a specimen. Like, you talk about, you know how they talk about some players that were before their time?
Oh, yeah.
That's, when you think about Jim Brown, that's what I think about. Like, I'm talking about everything that was Jim Brown. Like, the acting, the civil rights activism, all that stuff. Like, he was before.
The lacrosse player.
Yeah. Like, I hear people say he was a much better lacrosse player than he was a football player.
You know, they changed the rule for him.
when you
see the rare highlights, you could see it almost looks like he's dropped in a different generation. Like, athletes get better, right?
He's bigger than the lineman.
I know. It doesn't look right.
But he's the fastest guy out there.
It's amazing.
It is crazy.
Genetics. Bananas.
Ross, are you ready for the beer bowl?
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, you're ready for it. You're ready for the down there, the obstacle course.
I'm not usually very good at the obstacle course. I think I'm aging out of the obstacle course, but I'm still going
to
do it.
Are you happy that they got rid of the greasy pole?
I didn't even do it last year. Connor did it.
Yes,
but, yes, I am. I'm glad that Cooper DeJean's not here to potentially get hurt on this obstacle course.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Last year, Kelsey tore his hamstring.
I remember that. I remember seeing we don't him need grab
that.
It. No, no.
We don't need that.
We don't need that.
At least we don't need that from guys that are still playing.
No,
Sidney Brown's still playing. He's here, but he plays for the Falcons.
That's
now,
right. Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. It doesn't matter quite as much. Yeah, we can be honest. All right, Ross. While we have you, we need to get your vote in a debate that we've been having for, I mean, the better part of years, but it crescendoed last week. Are wins a quarterback stat?
I'm so glad you asked this. They are absolutely a quarterback stat.
All right, we're tied at one. Dan Orlovsky said no, a quarterback.
No, no. See,
he
no,
said no.
Stop, Hugh.
He said no.
No.
He Let did, me ask well, you this. Let me ask you guys this.
Okay.
Are wins and losses a head coach stat?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Who do you think has more of an impact on the outcome of a game, the head coach or the quarterback? A given game.
The quarterback.
It's not even close. You know even what? The coaches would tell you that. It's not even close.
But it's the only way we can measure a coach.
No, but
well, a quarterback, we have statistics.
I understand.
Have the eye
I understand.
Test.
It's not a perfect statistic, but what statistics are perfect? I mean, for quarterbacks, it's like completion percentage. All right, well, how easy were the throws he was attempting? How many drops were there? Like, if you look at every statistic, I can make an argument on why it's not a perfect statistic. I don't think wins and losses are a perfect quarterback, but they're not a perfect head coach stat
either.
Yeah,
it's fair. It's fair.
I mean, we assign these coaches, oh, he's got a losing record. Yeah, he was coaching the Browns.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what do you think his record's going to be?
Bad.
Don't you think the win-loss thing is the stat that has the least amount of context attached to it?
Probably, but what I would tell you is, like, late in games, there are certain quarterbacks that have a strong tendency over time to make the right plays at the right time so their team wins. There are also quarterbacks that compile a lot of statistics, but late in games, when it's winning or losing time, they tend to falter. They tend to not. So I think it's the goal is not to see how many touchdowns you can throw or how many yards you can throw for. The goal is to win the game. Those guys have the most impact on winning the game. Now, listen, I played, right? If I was offensive line, if I give up 8 sacks to Hugh, it's probably not great for the quarterback's one-loss record that day, right?
Yeah.
However, I still think it's something we should consider. I think you should consider every statistic, including win-loss record.
So
it's not the Bible. It's not the end-all, be-all, but it's one of the statistics I believe we should consider.
So basically, Dan Orlovsky basically said it's not a quarterback stat, but he long-talked his way to saying – that the quarterback has the most influence.
Ross agreed with you.
I'm just trying to get,
it's a tie. It's 1-1.
I'm just giving Ross
context.
You
say it
context.
Is. He says it
is. I think it is. You say it's not, Joe?
Well, you know what it is, Ross.
I've seen too many quarterbacks play great and lose, and then I've seen too many quarterbacks play poorly, and this team wins. It's like I think it's almost too imperfect, to use your word, for me to use it as gospel.
And that's his fair assessment. But I told him, I said, as a former defender, it's my job to give the quarterback the ball as many times as he can. And at the end of the day, I have been programmed, whether it's right or wrong, so that if the quarterback, if we give him the opportunity to win the game and he does it, that's on us. Because we didn't stop them enough and put him in better position to win the football.
Let me ask this, Joe. If it's not a quarterback stat, okay, why is it that all of the best quarterbacks win so much more than all of the bad quarterbacks?
Well, I think to your point, and I agree with this, they have the most influence. But also, if you look at the list of the most wins in NFL history, you will find some guys in there that you wouldn't consider the greatest quarterbacks, right? But they were good. Like, Joe Flacco has a lot of wins, right? He's played a long time. Joe, what did you think of Flacco in his heyday? He was good.
Good quarterback that played his best when it mattered the most.
I agree.
In the Super Bowl.
So I think that should count.
Yeah, right.
I think that should be in his favor.
I think it should be in his favor. It feels too imperfect. It feels too imperfect. Plus, Hugh is so passionate about it, I got to fight him on it.
Well.
I don't recall what he's
happened?
Talking about. I don't know what he's talking about, Ross.
Ross, we appreciate you hopping on.
But the next time I have a spirit
I'm about to do this soon.
I know you are.
Dude, the bugs were already bad enough. and now I got these Utz cheese balls.
Oh, no, they're coming
on my
leg, coming after
and they're
you.
Just killing me.
Yeah.
Now.
They're
killing me.
All right.
They have no respect for WIP or the fact that I'm on live radio right now.
You're what they call a snack right
yeah.
now.
Ross, good luck. Don't get hurt down there, all right?
I will. That's the one thing I will definitely not do.
Ross Tucker with us here at the Beer Bowl. 215-592-9494. We'll finish the Phillies with a trade idea coming up next. Sports Radio 94 WIP.